sadly, page views doesn't mean anything in the world that we are in right at this point of time. And I've seen multiple transformations happen over the past many years. At this point of time, even in my current role, I think it has got to be relevant with the changing times and work across teams that you work with on your day-to-day basis within the organization as well as externally to see how can marketing be the spearhead in terms of driving revenue for the organization.
Welcome to CMO Convo. Today we have with us Sushovan Saha, Head of Global Marketing at Attentive.ai. Hi, Sushovan.
Hey, Mikhail. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy that you have joined us as a guest, and I'm happy to have you here. So thank you very much.
Yes, I'm equally excited about today's conversation. We did talk about quite a bit about marketing in our last connect. I'm sort of pretty much excited to sort of dial deep about this.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. So before we're going to dive in into today's topic, I would love it if you can share a bit of information about yourself and your background.
Sure. Yeah. So hi, folks. My name is Sushovan Saha. I got a bit over 15 years of experience in marketing at this point. I started my journey way back in 2010, delved my toes into every aspect of marketing in this past 15 years. Right now, I'm leading the marketing team at Attentive.ai. And I'm sort of heading the entire marketing function for global, as well as the marketing strategies, the demand gen, everything around it.
Sounds really cool. And also like 15 years of experience. So you've been in the field for quite some time. So probably you've seen a lot of changes and a lot
That's
of,
right.
know, like apocalypse and, you know, marketing things being died. Like, I don't know, like SEO is now dead, content is dead. I don't know, killing, you know, different marketing methodologies. So yeah, of course, everything is in joke. So Sushovan, before, like, you know, when we talked about the episode, you brought the idea, your perspective about marketing and the fact that now it shifts from, you know, from being kind of like a cost center into more
right.
a revenue driver. And
right.
I would love to hear, first of all, what does it actually mean?
So traditionally, from the time that I started, right, historically, marketing always has been seen as like a cost center. Let's beautify this thing, right? Let's make a great flyer out of it, so on and so forth. In fact, when I started way back in 2010, the only key metric of marketing is to be measured with was page views, right? If we see page views going up on your marketing initiatives, on the web pages that you're working on, I mean, we would give kudos to the entire team. Sadly, page views doesn't mean anything in the world that we are in right at this point of time. And I've seen multiple, you know, transformations happen over the past many years, right? At this point of time, even in my current role, I think it has got pertinent to sort of be, first of all, relevant with the changing times and work across teams that you sort of work with on your day-to-day basis within the organization as well as externally to see how can marketing be the spearhead in terms of driving revenue for the organization, right? And a lot of it is about, you know, driving that narrative, right? Changing your mindset. But, you know, as much as it seems like, you know, something on the books, but when you finally start to sort of make that mindset shift, you make changes along the way, you know. Try to think, you know, how can marketing solve this problem? Or how can marketing help solve the problem? It's about unlocking a lot of opportunities that leads to final revenue, right? It might not be, marketing might not be the reason alone that you can that can unlock revenue from the get-go. But, you know, it's also about removing roadblocks along the way, right? Which can unlock revenue in the longer term. So yeah, that's the shift that we are observing at this point of time. At Attentive.ai, we serve the construction and the landscaping industries in the US and Canada. Both of these industries are sort of underserved with software. So, you know, the penetration of technology and software in these two industries has been nascently low over many years. That's what we've sort of tried to change, right? With AI-based software, right? And a lot of the things that I am doing with my team here, right, sort of undercuts all other teams that I work with. So it's also finding value at every stage of the buyer persona, right? Not only the final revenue outcome, but also all the factors and KPIs leading to the revenue outcome. So that's how I sort of see, the shift from a cost center to a revenue center.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing. You mentioned previously metrics that in previous
That's
time
right.
we
Yeah.
used to kind of like be defined on measure on page views. What are the metrics that you're thinking about now in relation to marketing being a driver and a contributor to revenue?
That's right. I think I'd take a step back and also try to make people aware that we saw page views, then we saw the world talking about, click rates, open rates of different marketing campaigns across channels. Right now, it has moved on from those metrics to the final outcome of any particular initiative. So think about it this way that, if you are sort of working with sales, with customer success, with the product teams, you have to sort of cut across all the teams and focus on their outcomes, right? And all of their outcomes are tied to some business outcome or the other, right? So if I sort of dial only on one aspect to sort of make this a bit more, talk a bit more in detail about this, you talk about unlocking, customer value, like average customer value for the first year, right? So what think about working backwards from it, right? Most of the times, marketing has always been seen like, let's sort of see how we can contribute to that metric, right? But my philosophy over the many years, has been sort of work backwards from it. So if I were to talk about revenue as the final outcome, let me see what are the factors or the KPIs that are responsible for it. So we talk about the number of pilots that you do, right? Then one step back, you talk about the number of qualified opportunities that you can now unlock with marketing sources. Then one step back, you talk about the number of demos booked on the calendar for sales executives, right? And then one step back, you talk about the total number of marketing qualified leads that you can sort of churn month on a month. So now all of these are key KPIs, right? And you have to sort of make a marketing funnel derived out of historical data, derived out of the industry that you are pertaining to, and make goals along the way, right? So let's suppose you have to unlock 100K in revenue, right, for any particular year. You divide that into quarters. You also bring seasonality into the game, right? Maybe some of the quarters are heavy based on the buyer persona, right? They interact with your business or your, services that you offer, right? More than any other particular quarter. And then you divide that on a quarterly revenue, right? Then you divide that based on the number of pilots that you have to do. So the number of pilots that you have to do ha needs to be derived from the average customer value, right? The average deal size, right? Then you say that, okay, if I have to make, let's suppose, 30 pilots to be done in a particular month, in any month on an average, then make the 30 pilots, I have to unlock at least 100 qualified opportunities, right? Not every qualified opportunity will result in your pilot. Some of them will be right in your ICP, right on your buying intent, and all the other metrics that you qualify any need for example. But they might not be ready to buy at that point of time, in spite of them being right within your ICP, So that's the number of qualified demos that you need to sort of do every month. And then you finally see that, hey, if I have to sort of unlock 100 qualified opportunities on any given month, then through all marketing channels, I have to do at least 2.5, 3x of the demos booked on the calendar. Because in spite of, targeting your audience on a set group of, region or, buyer persona or maybe other factors that there are there, you might end up attracting a lot of junk leads, a lot of wrong ICP, right? So you have to sort of factor that in also. And so these are all the KPIs on which at even in my present role, I am sort of judged on a week to week basis. So it's never that, you look at 1 month and see, hey, let's look at the month and let's look at how it went. It's never like that. We have to sort of observe on a week-to-week basis, make course corrections along the way, because the kind of environment that we are in, the volatile nature of the environment that we are in, things change pretty fast, right? You are not the only organization in the space that are operating in silos. You have the market to deal with. You have your audience too. You have influencers who sort of, play with your buyer persona from time to time. And then you have competition to look at, right? And amidst all of these, there are disruptors in every industry who we have to look out for. So you have to sort of take that intel of the market and go back to product at any given point of time, go back to customer success and say that, hey, this is something that this industry's moving towards. Do we have a solid pipeline of, feature upgrades that we want to sort of release? And or if not, what can we do? So yeah. And whatever I sort of described at this point of time is basis a certain industry, right? But for different industries, it plays out differently. But at the same time, I'm a big advocate of the fact that whatever is your goal, try to work backwards from it, right? Try to
So kind of
see.
like reverse engineering the
That's
strategy
right.
instead of
That's right.
planning ahead, kind of like
That's
reverse
right.
engineer the process to understand how
That's
you're
right.
about to reach that.
That's right.
That is great. And thank you very much for sharing your perspective about KPIs. I do want to ask you a bit of, like the whole concept of revenue. So I think we've all kind of like noticed the trend now that marketing is shifting into revenue, right? And we see oftentimes that it's not only CMOs who are leading marketing, it's also CROs. And I would
Right.
love to ask you, not all of the organizations are operating in that way. Some organizations are still working a bit in silos. So marketing is marketing, sales is sales, customer success is customer success.
Right.
And I think that's kind of like, at the point in time where currently we're standing, of course, from my perspective, this is not the right way to go. But I would love to hear your thoughts about how can an organization approach that and kind of like build the right relationship between marketing and sales so they operate together as a revenue function.
That's right. I think that's a great question and a great point that you brought out, Mika. I have seen great organizations suffer because
Oh my
they
God,
are
yes.
misaligned.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. And when I started to sort of think about this, I really want to sort of thank the leadership at Attentive.ai. I think that's where it starts. And, transparency builds from top. You're never going to sort of achieve greatness and hold on to it unless you make things work with each other. It's never, my goal versus the other team's goal, but it's about breaking a big goal into small chunks and let every team achieve their part, right? So that it finally comes to fruition. And that's really, I've seen the best teams sort of operate like that. And you see, so there's something called the Dot One organization. So Dot One organizations are sort of 0.1% of organizations that will outlast its founding team members. Think about Apple, think about Amazon, think about the other great market leaders in each category. They all have this thing in common that, it's not about marketing versus sales. It's not about marketing versus customer success or any team operating silos, but it's all about every team working in conjunction with each other. So a lot of there obviously needs to be set guidelines for each team, right? That we'll be attacking, let's suppose we'll be attacking the top of the funnel and the middle of the funnel, for example. Sales teams and pre-sales teams will be attacking the bottom of the funnel. But it doesn't mean at all that marketing doesn't have any part to play in the bottom, right? I've seen this term sort of grow in acceptance, called sales enablement, right?
Yes.
Right. So you must, Mr. also have observed over the years, sales enablement is growing every year, right? And in some organizations, sits within product marketing. In some organizations, it sits within the product market, within the larger marketing team. And in some organizations, it might be sitting in between marketing and sales. Irrespective of where it is sitting, it has become a critical cornerstone to unlock the real sales pipeline. Think about it this way, that you booked a lot of demos on the calendar for your sales executives, and a big chunk of that is going into no-shows. People are booking within an ICP and they're not turning up for the demos. Then also think about this way, that people did appear on the demo, but they didn't follow up for a pilot program, right? People did sort of align for a pilot program, but they didn't sort of go ahead to become a customer at that point of time. So there has to be designated people and a set process to nurture all of these lost opportunities, if you may, right? And then that has become the cornerstone of sales enablement right now. Sometimes we don't even talk about sales enablement. We talk about, hey, product marketing will do this, or maybe some other team will do it. But at the same time, no matter what team is looking at, or no matter what you call that team, try to think about this way, that a function or a set of people who didn't exist in the past, maybe 3 to 4 years ago, right, has become a critical cornerstone. How did that come into place? Because every successful team, every successful organization is realizing that the only way is to sort of go together to unlock real value for both the customers, the audience, as well as for the organization and the people that you're sort of growing with. So it's not about prioritizing self-growth or prioritizing organizational growth. It's about prioritizing each team's growth that is intertwined to a final outcome. So those are my two cents, I would say, Nicole, when I really talk about networking across teams.
But I think that for some people it's even understanding that it's a culture shift as well, right? Because it's a
That's
shift
right.
in perception that you need to understand that, okay, we are not working per teams anymore. We are working together as one team toward the
Right.
direction of one goal, and the goal is revenue, if that is the
That's
goal.
right.
Yeah, some companies have
That's right.
different goals as well. So you've mentioned the word growth. And I know
Yeah.
that you have a certain opinion about growth in general. Most people just use it as a buzzword, and it's been around for years now. But I would love to hear how do you define growth, and how does kind of like meaningful growth should look like in your opinion?
I think two terms that come to my mind is sustainability, right, and consistency when we talk about growth. I'm not a fan of spikes, right? Growth spikes, because those are not sustainable in the longer run. That's what history has proven time and again. That's what I've seen in my experiences, right? That's what I've sort of learned from talking to many other people who are more experienced than me, or maybe bringing more in the table. So when I talk about growth, I try to measure it this way, that let's suppose we are at 15% conversion from qualified demos to pilots booked, and the goal for us to reach our revenue goal is to get to 25% by the end of the quarter. So that's sort of the goal, right? Can I get to, and the obviously, so I'll again work backwards, break that goal into three, four parts, right? What can I do by the end of the week? What can I do by the end of the month? What can I do by the end of the quarter? And try to evenly distribute it based on the data that I have. So that's one way of to look at it, right? Very scientifically doing
I
that.
love it. It's almost kind of like asking yourself, what's possible in the
That's right.
resource that I
That's
currently have, in the current data? What's possible? I love that
right.
approach.
So that's one. But oftentimes, so you must have heard about this. Plans are useless. Planning is important, right? So you plan, right? But then obviously, as I said earlier, you're not working in silos. Your organization is not the
You've
only
got to
player
have a
in it.
plan. You've got to have a
That's right.
northern star in a way.
You have plan A, you have plan B, you have plan C. That's how you operate. But at the same time, I don't think that if we talk about me and the people that I work with, we don't confine ourselves thinking that, hey, we are sitting at 19%. Tomorrow, if we do 17 by next week, that's a failure. No, that's not. That's a growth in my mind, as long as we have tested out a few things. So I'm also a fan of the fact that you have to A/B test. A/B test your the heck out, basically, out of all the things before, because goals you will reach, But if you haven't A/B tested yourself on all the initiatives that you are working on, you never know that what can be the possible pitfalls, what can be the possible failures, as well as you are not well prepared about the future. Because today you have to unlock 19 to 25%. But as soon as you reach 25%, there will be people at your door claiming for 30%, 40%, 50%. How do you do that? You don't do that without getting to failures.
Yeah.
So it's simply either you win or you learn. Never keep a mindset that, you know, it's lost. You have to sort of learn along the way. To my mind, growth, the real growth comes from learning. Because if I am not innovating, my competitors, other people who are serving the same audience will at any given point of time. Right. So the key lies in execution. The key is not on ideation anymore. Right. Everybody is abuzz with ideas. My team that are reporting to me have got better ideas than me. Trust me. Right. But it's about executing that flawlessly. Even if you execute 50% of that flawlessly, that to my mind is growth rather than just doing things all over the place and not achieving really anything out of that.
Yeah, and you mentioned something really important, that actually failure and learning and debriefing is all part of the process. So we should not aim for this, you know, being perfect or having the perfect campaign, etc. So when talking about growth, right, there are also different channels that are currently on the rise as well. Can you share a bit of like some unconventional channels that might have worked for you in the past?
Sure. I think it depends on the industry and the audience that you're serving to at any given point of time. Of late, we have seen a few unconventional channels like ChatGPT or Perplexity give us some good quality leads, some good quality opportunities. We have also seen Reddit come across as a platform that we never thought would give us any opportunity, right?
Yeah.
These are actually getting, the growth of these channels are getting noticed by even the big players, right? So traditionally the market was occupied by Google search and that's it, right? Or maybe Google AdWords, right? But now I think when you talk about real lead gen, these couple of channels that I just mentioned are really showing a lot of good quality growth, right? The other channel that comes to my mind is really about, you know, in-person as well as virtual events, right? And getting that right. It's not only about a webinar or a trade show anymore, but it's also about choosing what you intend to do out of those channels. For example, if you talk about the offline channel, right? So there might be 10 different trade shows that you can be a part of. But you also have to sort of see and choose, pick and choose the four most impactful trade shows in the entire year for your business, right? So you have to sort of dial down deep into the kind of revenue those organizations, participant organizations, attendees are. Does that sit in on your ICP? Any competitors going on to that trade show, for example? Can you have a speaking session at that trade show, right? More often than not, the key to unlock growth might not lie in having a fancy booth. It might be sort of in having those 3-4 good interactions that might convert into an opportunity, into an outcome. And when we talk about, you know, events, I think the world has moved on from webinars at certain point of time.
Well, we it's are not pretty about far from Corona. I think that people want to meet each other. I mean, you know,
that's right.
We've been through a lot as humanity. So I also have the sense that, you know, the in-person connection and experience and meeting people offline is definitely on the rise. Definitely.
That's right. And particularly to the audience that I cater to, the construction and the landscaping audience in the US, these are pretty busy folks, right? They are on site, working, building architectures, making estimation plans or bidding for a project, right? So more often than not, they won't be on a screen or going to a trade show until unless they have that time. So something that I really experimented with is podcasts, right? Having really 5 to 10 minutes of small, biteable podcast and how I derive that would be from our existing webinars, cutting and chopping them into bite-able pieces of small 5 minutes, releasing them to our distribution channels. And we have seen a lot of success because your audience might want to keep one sense active over the other, right? They might be doing something, but they're open to hearing you rather than making, rather than having 100% attention towards your brand or towards your product. So I think the podcast and how you want to position your podcast also can unlock a lot of real growth in the times that we live in.
I agree. I love podcasting. So yeah, and I think also it really depends on the persona, right? So the audience that you're targeting probably some of them have LinkedIn, but probably, the digital marketing arena is less of their cup of tea. Probably it's more about going on a trade show and then meeting people and learning from,
That's
seeing
right.
things that are in live experience. So Sushivan, I know that you have a very vast experience. You've been working in startups and scale-ups and in different, work methodologies, etc. Do you have any tips about how you can balance between the strategic kind of like work and the more tactical work that a marketeer nowadays needs to deliver?
I think it's about balancing short-term wins versus the big picture, right? So a lot of the times I see marketers lost in transactional work on a day-to-day basis, right?
It happens
And
quite often, yeah.
yeah, and don't get me wrong, I mean that's needed, right? Getting through the motions, doing the work so that it leads up to the final outcome. But also it's important sort of take pauses every now and then and try to identify that, hey, whether the path that I am on or that we are on as a team or as an initiative is the best one towards that final outcome. And if any course corrections are needed, it is better that we do it now rather than looking back later and thinking that, hey, we could have done that. Or maybe putting more work hours into that same initiative and thinking that, hey, we are now running out of time to sort of innovate. So yeah, so I think that is key to sort of juggle between strategic as well as tactical initiatives, right? The way I sort of have, I would say, bifurcated my team is between both, right? So people working on lead gen and then the other team, other part of the team working on demand. So creating demand is a long-term game, whereas creating lead gen is transactional, everyday affair that you have to sort of keep your ear to the ground and work through the motions. And so that it doesn't become monotonous, I give each side an opportunity to sort of shuffle every quarter based on intent and interest. If they want to sort of go to the other side, they're free to do that. And really what I do to balance this is based on allocation, right? So that you don't have to pick and choose between lead gen and demand gen. You can work on both. But if you feel that you are more inclined towards one over the other, please feel free to do that at every quarter. And I've seen a lot of, pure intent and interest in aligned with the work that they do. It doesn't seem anymore like, I have been asked to do that. Right. So it's really organic at the same time. And you don't have to act all micromanage, right? I let them be. I'm very sure that way that, they'll make it at the end of the day, even if there are roadblocks, because they are free to sort of come back to me at any given point of time, asking for course corrections, asking for guidance. And that's how I sort of have built the team. And not only in my present role, but in all the earlier leadership role that I have been, I have built high growth teams based on this fundamental. So that's
So
how I see that.
it sounds a lot about, it's remaining focused, keeping the eye on the ball, kind of like constantly, even if you drift away, like into the more day-to-day work, kind of like keeping in mind, okay, this is the bigger picture, this is what we want to achieve. You can get lost a bit, but here's the route back to, the
That's
path that
right.
we are leading.
That's right.
Yeah. So I would like to talk with you a bit about the future of marketing, which is a very hot topic at the moment, also in our podcast here. So where do you think that marketing leaders should be placing their bets in the next 12 to 18 months? So kind of like, what's happening out there? What's important for, our audience to know?
I think lots of big shifts with AI coming into the play, right? Even if you are not in the AI space, or even if your target audience is not in the AI space, doesn't matter. I mean, you are dealing with Google and Apple at the end of the day, right? For your marketing motions. So you will have to sort of innovate around that problem, around that change. So one of the critical pieces that attentive that we have seen is that we are very dependent on our audience searching for takeoff solutions, right? AI takeoff software or takeoff software at the end of the day. So a really huge part of our opportunities come from Google search, right? Or AdWords. But Google has changed the game over the past year drastically, right? With its code updates coming in every 3 months. So one of the critical changes that we have observed is the AI overview. Whenever you search anything, you get an AI overview. Now, if me as an audience, if I get everything on that AI overview, I will not click any website. I will not click on any website and enter their journey. That's the challenge that marketers have to. So that's one of the key challenges actually marketers have to sort of traverse in the next 6 to 12 months, not even 18 months.
So, any thoughts about how we can kind of like, conquer that challenge? I mean, I have to be honest to say that I did, of course, also as just a person, not even as a marketeer, notice this change. And yeah, I was not keen on kind of like, okay, like, should I dive deeper? No, because like the A, like Google AI overview kind of like gave me already the answer. I'm satisfied with that, and that's it. But how do we still then can, like as marketeer, keep the audience engaged, keep the intent at mind? I mean, should we aim more to, like MSEO, so multi-channel SEO? I even heard it's
Right.
called like AEO, anything, anything SEO type of thing. So I don't know, like, and then
Right.
there's GEO. So there is multiple way to call, like this multi-search landscape that we are currently kind of like seeing on the rise. Any tips or thoughts about that? How can we overcome that or just leverage that?
Sure. I think two things that come to my mind and what I've been putting into practice over the past couple of months is not seeing that as a problem, but as seeing to sort of work around the problem, surround that problem in other channels. So try to think of it as that you have to sort of exercise all the marketing channels that you have, right? So in-person trade shows, obviously Google as a channel, other channels that I talked about, ChatGPT and Reddit, right? See where your audience is, right? Even if they are not looking to buy your solution or product in that channel, you still have to market there. So think about YouTube ads. When was the last time you have seen an YouTube ad and clicked on that CTA? Probably never. Does that mean that you should stop marketing? No. It means that you should still do demand gen there, because more often than not, if you see an ad, and if you're interested, if you're an ICP, you'll go back directly to the website, click on that website, or you'll search on Google, because that's how the psychology works, that I am not ready to sort of open the first call to action that you give me. But if that interests me, I will definitely search for it. So that's one. Secondly, try to see what is the authority for your brand that you're building in the market. What is it right now versus what you could build? So look for the value of branded keywords that you have associated to your brand or just the larger space that you're working for, right? And really build from there. So basically, you can replace a lot of your organic SEO traffic or AdWords traffic with intent-based direct searches, right? So if people are searching for AI takeoff software, right, you have to sort of target that keyword across all channels, right? So think about not selling directly, but also trying to see, can you provide multi-formatted content around that particular keyword? So maybe people might be searching, what is an AI takeoff software? How can AI take off software, replace manual take off software, right? Things about these. And also try to sort of advocate for your brand, not by yourself, but bringing micro influencers into the play. And you can find them on Reddit, you can find them on LinkedIn, right? You can find through your publishers that cater to your target market, right? And make them advocate for you, right? Also try to think that can analyst firms work for you, right? In my past roles, I have delved onto that and seen a lot of value in it. If there is a magic quadrant, if there is an analyst report that you can be a part of that can position you, right, in your space, right? People will discover about you, right, in the longer run. So yeah, these are a few things that I sort of experimented with in the past and even in my present role. I have found a lot of value over time. Obviously, you'll not see value coming in overnight, but it'll
Of
build
course.
on month on month.
So, if I want to summarize it or to recap, we're talking about keeping brand presence top of mind. That's A.
That's right.
And then B, covering space. So, basically, even if like users will not click on any ad eventually, but you still need to cover space with the high intent keywords, still
Okay.
with display images, even on YouTube or etc. So, covering space. Yeah, I
That's
like
right.
that. So,
Yeah.
Shuvan, we have reached the end of the episode. I would like to say
Right.
thank you very much. I've gained a lot of knowledge. I hope you had fun. For me, it was really fun having you as my guest.
Absolutely,
And
Nicole. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I would totally love a part two at some point discussing about more about marketing, discussing more about revenue, unlocking growth, so on and so forth.
100%. We would love to keep the conversation rolling.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much. Ciao.